extended nursery is dismissing to go down, and that's for up to kindergarten age. If you're in first grade or above, you stay up here from now on, for right now. All right? So that's up to kindergarten age for extended nursery. As they're leaving, if you turn in your Bibles with us in the book of John, chapter number 21, John chapter number 21, that's where we'll take our text from this morning. I'd like to welcome everyone out and trust you've been made to feel welcome in God's house this morning. I see a few hands I didn't get to shake, but we're thankful for you being here this morning and trust you've already been blessed. We've enjoyed the songs this morning and they blessed our heart. And Haley, don't you worry about that. I've done that a million times. Amen. I have plumb forgot the words. I've sung the same verse twice because I couldn't remember the second one. We was at the county fair singing, and they was having trouble with the sound system trying to get us adjusted right. And I got more focused on them getting the sound system. I just sung one verse twice because I couldn't forgot where I was. Amen. It happens. Don't worry about it. Amen. It gets worse as you get older, trust me. Amen. Where was it? Yeah. But we just thank each one for being here this morning, and we have enjoyed every song that's been sung. Enjoyed the fellowship. It's good to see such a good crowd out this morning. Had a lot of sickness and things going on, and people not able to be here, folks away, and we're just thankful that everyone is here today, and we're thankful for you. And trust you've come seeking something from the Lord. If you found John chapter 21, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith unto him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.'" And the rest of the text that I'll read will be where we'll be preaching from this morning. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, 'Follow me.' Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, 'Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?' Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, 'Lord, what shall this man do?' Jesus saith unto him, 'If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.' Then went out this saying abroad amongst the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, 'He shall not die.' But 'If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and your blessings. We thank you for each one that has come this way this morning, and trust, Lord, that you'd be in our midst and stir our hearts as we've gathered together in your name, Lord. And we just have met here today that we might meet with you. And Lord, we just ask you to minister unto us the things that we stand in need of today. Speak to our hearts and lives. Help us each one be obedient, God, as you minister to us. And surrender ourselves unto you, Lord, and everything, God, that you'd have us to do. Now, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the songs that have been sung and have blessed our heart. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we've had before the service. And, Lord, now we look to hear from you and ask you, God, to minister unto us as only you can do, asking it today as humbly as we know how. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You may be seated. Jesus is talking to Peter in the first few verses that we read. And as he's inquiring of Peter, he's wanting Peter to understand not that Jesus doesn't know his heart, but that Jesus does know his heart. Amen? See, Peter had betrayed the Lord. Peter had denied him three times. The Bible says, and he went out and he wept bitterly. And now Jesus was just reaffirming his love to Peter and allowing Peter to know that he loved him. He says, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Do what I've called you to do. I haven't changed my mind just because you've made a mistake. I haven't changed my mind just because you had a little problem. Aren't you glad this morning that when we mess up, God doesn't throw us away? Amen. Amen. When we falter and we fail, God still loves us, and he wants us to know that he loves us, and he wants us to know that he'll use us, and he wants to know that if we'll just submit ourselves and surrender ourselves, that he still has a purpose for us in our lives. Amen. I'm glad that he never gave up on me when I failed, and I'm glad that every time I call upon him, I find forgiveness. I find restoration. You see, the Bible, it's a story, and a very specific story, a very beautiful story. It's a story of restoration. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the story of God restoring unto himself. Amen. That which was taken because of sin at Calvary. It's a beautiful story. It's a story of a great love. It's a story of great compassion, a story of great mercy and grace. It's a story of great commitment. See, God has committed himself to us, and he's given himself to us wholeheartedly that we might be able to be restored unto him. You know, I heard the story a long time ago about commitment. You know the difference between being involved and being committed. If you had bacon and eggs this morning for breakfast, the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. Amen? You see, the pig gave everything it had. The pig could do no more. It became bacon. See, that's just what God did. God gave everything. He gave his very own being, his very own person, his very own self, that he might restore us unto himself, that he might save us from the curse of sin. And he tells Peter, he says, your end is going to be different. Peter has always been brash. Peter has always been the one who speaks out and the one who steps up and puts his foot in his mouth. Anybody have that problem? Amen? It happens. Peter was always that person. And Peter was always the one who made the decisions. When God, or when Jesus came here to where they're at in verse 21, it was Peter at the beginning of the chapter said, I go fishing, and everybody else followed Peter. Peter is a leader. You know, God's people should be leaders. Amen? We should be leaders. We should be following those who've gone before us that stood upon the rock. Peter said, be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. Amen? But we should be leaders and not followers. The world should want to have what we have. Should want to know who we know. Should want to do the things that we do. You know, a fellow told me a long time ago, said, if you want to be rich, you got to watch rich people and do what rich people do. Makes sense. If you want to be successful, you watch successful people and you do what successful people do. Amen? That's how you become successful. If you want people to be a Christian and people to desire to have what you have, you need to be a leader. You need to be an example. Well, you all got real quiet there, didn't you? Amen? You need to be an example. I need to be an example. You know, I heard a story a long time ago of a young preacher that went to an old preacher that was his mentor, and he said, I just can't understand it. He said, I preach my heart out, and I do everything that I can, and people just won't get saved. He said, I lead them to water, but they just won't drink. And his old mentor said, well, that's your problem. It's not your job to make them thirsty, or it's not your job to make them drink. It's your job to make them thirsty. Amen? And that's our job. We can't make people get saved. We can't make people follow the Lord, but we can make people want to follow the Lord because they see what we have and they begin to thirst for the peace that we have. They begin to thirst for the joy that we have. They begin to thirst for the contentment that we seem to have in all things, and they want what we have. And Peter was that leader, and Peter wasn't always that great leader that he should be, but the Lord said, I'm not going to throw you away, Peter. Even though you went fishing, I said you was going to be a fisher of men. You went back to fishing for fish. I said, I had a purpose for you, a reason for you. I've told you to go and do these things that you haven't done. You went fishing. But Peter, I know you love me. I know you made a mistake. And Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Amen. Don't quit feeding sheep because you messed up. Amen. Don't stop feeding sheep because you made a mistake. Amen. Don't stop feeding sheep because the sheep will starve to death. Amen. Sometimes the sheep is your family. Sometimes the sheep are your friends. I pastor a church, and people think of you all as the sheep of my congregation that I pastor. But friends, I've got a lot of other sheep that I need to feed. Amen. And because I mess up, I don't need to stop feeding the sheep. Amen. I need to keep on feeding. I can find forgiveness. You know, the animals up to the farm, if I don't feed them, they let me know they haven't been fed. If I don't feed them, they still want to be fed. If I'm tardy with the food, them goats will let me know if you're tardy with the food. Amen? Some of my friends come by and said, they're saying, Daddy, Daddy. No, they're saying, feed me, feed me. Amen? They want to be fed. And you know what I found out? That when I feed them, even though I might have messed up, they still want to be fed. They still want to come, and they still want to see me. They still recognize me as the one that feeds them. Amen? Don't stop feeding the sheep. And Jesus tells Peter, you're going to die different than what you thought you was going to die. I've got plans for you, and in your death, you're going to give glory unto God. And for those that don't know, Peter was crucified, and he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord was crucified, and he asked that he might be crucified upside down, and they crucified him upside down just like they did Jesus. He didn't plan on dying that way, but God said, you're going to glorify God in your death. And then God told Peter, said, follow me. You know, the greatest thing that we can do in this world, the greatest command that was ever given unto us was to follow him. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also died for us, left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Amen. Follow in him. Amen. Jesus said, follow me. And then Peter seen John, that the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he said, but what about him? And Jesus said, what is it to you if he tarry till I come? And I want to preach on that thought this morning. I tarry till I come. It's not a big thought. It's not some deep theological thought, but it's a thought that we need to take and consider in ourselves. What is it to thee if I will that he tarry till I come? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Amen. I got to quit worrying about what everybody else is doing, and I got to tarry till Jesus comes. Amen. I can't worry about every other church. I can't worry about every other ministry. I can't worry about every other preacher in the world. I got to worry about me, and I got to tarry till Jesus comes. Amen. You can't worry about the other people in your church. You can't worry about the people that have failed the Lord and have done wrong. You need to tarry where Jesus would have you to tarry until he comes, and he will have you tarry following him. You say, well, what does it mean to tarry until I come? It means that we're going to tarry here in this old low land of sin and sorrow. We're going to tarry in the world. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for us as well. And he prayed that we'd be able to tarry in this world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. Amen. We're not a part of the world, but we're still in this world. And we're going to live in this world, and we go through this world. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 17. And by the way, this is the Lord's Prayer. That we call the Lord's Prayer is a pattern for prayer that he taught us to pray. But this is his prayer. This is his earnest prayer as he prayed for his church. And while I was with him in the world, I kept him in thy name. That those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. What makes a difference in this world? The word. Amen. What are we to do while we tarry? Share the word. Amen. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. The Lord sanctified himself. What's his people need to be doing? We need to live a sanctified life. And for their sakes, for us, he sanctified himself. For your husband and your wife, for your children and your grandchildren, for your friends and your family, what do you need to be doing? Sanctify yourselves. When God's people were getting ready to meet God in his presence, what did he tell them to do? To sanctify themselves. Amen. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus didn't ask that his disciples be taken out of the world, but that God would have his hand upon them while they tarried in the world. Amen. And he had a purpose for them here. He had a place for them. And we have a purpose and a place in this world. And if we were to be removed and God was to take his church out of the world, who would be left to tell a lost and a dying world about Jesus? We're here today because the disciples told somebody, and one day somebody told me about Jesus. Amen. And Jesus prayed for me, knowing that I would tarry in this world until he come. And he knew that the Lord would have to keep me from evil. The Lord would have to protect me in this world. And aren't you thankful that as he said, tarry till I come, he knows what we need. And he prayed for us, even as he prayed for his disciples, that we would be able to stand strong in the midst of all that would come our way. In John 15, Jesus told us that it wasn't going to be a pleasant world and a pleasant place for God's people. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We need to tarry in this world. Even though God's people are despised and rejected by many, we need to tarry. Even though your family and your friends might make fun of you and make light of you because you want to serve the Lord, we need to tarry in the world till Jesus comes. Even though we have to face all these problems, we can tarry knowing that we have a help. We tarry in Him. We've been surrendered unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, trusting Him for our salvation. And we can tarry in the world knowing that no matter what the world brings our way, it can't take away our salvation. Amen. We can tarry by Him. He said that He wouldn't leave us comfortless. He would send a comforter unto us, and that comforter would guide us into all truth. Amen. We can tarry with the guidance of the truth that only He can bring to us. He said we can tarry through Him. I don't have anything that I can brag of in myself, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And praise God, I can tarry in victory, knowing that regardless of what the world throws my way, I still have victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to tarry in the world. Amen. Some of us complain about how we feel. We complain about our aches and pains. We complain about growing old. We complain about having sickness and disease. But do you realize there are people that didn't get to wake up this morning? Do you realize that there are people this day whose disease is going to take them out of this world? Do you realize there's people that are sick in this world and have no place to go? Have no one to turn to? Don't have a Jesus to call on? But praise God, we have everything we need in Him. He's so good to us. And if He's that good to us, we can tarry in this world and proclaim His truth until He comes. Because that's what He told us to do. We tarry in the world, but while we're in the world, we tarry in the work. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 18. Jesus speaking these parables to teach His disciples and those that would hear. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. See, God gave each of us something to do. He left us with responsibility for His interest in this world. Why do we preach? We preach for the kingdom of God. We preach for the cause of Christ. Amen. We don't preach to enrich ourselves or to glorify ourselves. We preach to lift Jesus up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That's my goal. That's our purpose, is to do the work that He's given me to do to His interest. Amen? For His purpose. God entrusted them, or the master here, entrusted them with everything that He had, with His goods. He's entrusted us with His goods in this world. What goods is that? He's entrusted us with His word. Amen. He's entrusted us with His Spirit that dwells and lives within us. Amen. He's entrusted us with everything that we need to do the work that He would have us to do while we are in this world. But he also gives to each of us according to what he knows we're able to do. Where to say that? Everyone according, verse number 15 there, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. God doesn't ask you to do something that you can't do. Amen. There's people in this church that can sing but won't sing. Amen. There's people in this church that can teach but won't teach. There's people in this church that can testify but won't testify. God didn't ask you to do something that you can't do. It didn't say it wouldn't be hard for you to do it. Amen. But he said you can do it. Amen. He don't ask any more of you than what you're able to do. When he left these servants with the talents, he knew their ability. He knew their shortcomings. He knew their problems. But that's all right. He still entrusted everything he had to them. Amen. He entrusted his possessions. He entrusted everything that he had. And then he took his journey. You know, this morning we give everybody a track on Sunday morning. You know what the purpose of that track is? To stick it in your Bible and use it for a page marker, right? No. Is it to throw it in the little visitor card holder there in the pew? Is it to give to your kids to scribble on? Then what do we give it to you for? To hand out. Amen? Some people won't even hand a tract to somebody. You don't even have to talk to them. Just hand them a tract. Amen? You can do that. Amen? Man, Girl Scouts can sell Girl Scout cookies to people that don't need them. Amen? I know you can give a gospel tract to somebody. I know you can tell somebody about how good Jesus has been to you this week. Amen. Amen. Has anybody ever heard of the Malpas brothers? They're a couple of brothers that sing, and they live down in North Carolina. I think they quit their jobs. One was a transmission mechanic, and the other was another kind of a mechanic. I forget what he did. He worked at another place, but they went, and for several years they would open for Merle Haggard. They'd run away to the concerts on the weekends and or whatever night it was, and then they'd run back home and work the next day rebuilding transmissions and whatever, and they sang a song, Just Suppose, and as they're giving a testimony leading up to that song, Just Suppose, they said that their granddaddy, I'd come to get them out of bed to go to church on Sunday morning, and they'd be all beat and tired, and they didn't want to get up and go to church. And he said, well, I suppose if the Lord had done anything good for me this week, I wouldn't want to go to church and worship him either. And he said, then you knew you just had to get up and go to bed, or go to church. Get up out of bed and go to church. Why? Because God is good to us. And we can tell people that God has been good to us. Amen. You don't have to preach to somebody, but you can tell them what God's done for you. Amen. You don't have to beat somebody over the head and be a Bible thumper, as some people I like to call them. But you can tell people and your witness and your testimony of telling people and just giving God glory and giving God praise in your daily life as you tarry in this world below. I can preach more than the greatest sermon that a preacher could stand in a pulpit and preach, because God has been good to us. Amen. He saved us and he delivered us. A no good, filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking, low-down sinner that deserves years to be in health, my back broke, but God saved me. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. How glorious is that, that God would save somebody, an old wretched sinner just like me. Amen. That God would take somebody like you and bring you up out of a horrible pit and out of that miry clay and set your feet on the rock and establish your going. Praise God. What a Savior. Amen. How good it is to know that He loves you. How good it is to let Him just move in your life and let Him use you to tell other people. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can't do. He knows what you can give. He knows what you can't give. He knows what your talents and your ability are. Why not use them while you tarry here below for the cause of Christ? There's a purpose, church, for us being here. And it isn't just to warm a church pew on Sunday morning. But it's to be a witness and a testimony to a lost and a dying world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Tarry in this world. And while we tarry in this world, tarry in the work that He's given us to do. Brother Jim was making the announcement here earlier. We need people not only for the spiritual work, but for the physical things. Because all the physical things that we do around here are purposed to the spiritual things. Amen. Every program of this church is geared to speaking the gospel of Christ in some way. Tabitha's pantry is there for the purpose of spreading the gospel in a way that it can do. Vacation Bible School comes around every year for the purpose of spreading the gospel. Although we did have one instance, I don't know what they thought was a daycare or what, people sent their child to Vacation Bible School and they were going to sue the church because we told them about hell. I didn't send my children there expecting to be talked about hell. It's a church. We don't want you to go to hell. It's an awful, awful place. Amen. The rich man lifted his eye in hell, being in torment. Amen. I don't want anybody to go there. The purpose of this church is to tell people you don't have to go to a place called hell, because Jesus made a means and made a way and made a place for you that you could go to a place called heaven. Yeah. You might be in bondage. You might be in sin's prison. But praise God, He can make you free. And Vacation Bible School's for that. Need help for the revival this coming week. Man, we're going to have young people all over the place. We're going to feed them good. We're going to feed them spiritually. We're going to feed them physically. Amen. And we need people to help in doing all that. Amen. Tarry while you're here in the work for the cause of Christ. Amen. Don't let your life set idle. Only one life will soon be passed. And only that which is done for Christ will last. Amen. The most important thing that you can do as you tarry here is to carry the banner. Psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the ungodly. Amen. I'd rather be nothing down at God's house than to be everything to the world. Amen. There's something for you to do and something that you're able to do. And we need people to clean toilets. You say, well, that's not a very glorious job. No, I've done it. Hey, man, I've mopped floors. I was out in the hall one day mopping fellowship hall after one of the things. We come back on Monday or something to do it, or I come over. And somebody stopped by here and said, I'm looking for the pastor. I said, that's me. I said, you mopping floor? I said, yeah. Hey, man. There's something we can all do. Amen. And we do it for the glory of God. We don't do it to be seen of men. With goodwill doing service, Ephesians 6:7, this is a good verse for you to write in your Bible, a good verse to be a life verse, a good verse to just mark on your heart. With goodwill doing service unto the Lord and not unto men. I don't do things because it pleases you. I do things because it pleases God. I don't preach to please you. I preach to please God. And that should be our goal in everything that we do, no matter what we do. As we tarry in this world, we need to tarry in the work that He's gave us. But as we tarry in the work, we need to tarry in the watch. Sometimes we get complacent. Sometimes we allow things to slip up on us. Anybody ever lose track of time? How do you lose track of time? You get so involved in something that you forget to watch the time. Now, some people just got ADD. Some people got AADD. That's adult. Some people got OA. That's old adult. Amen. ADD, and we forget things. Amen. And it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get your frame of mind off of what you should be focused on. But Jesus tells us we need to watch. We need to tarry expectantly. Amen. How many believe Jesus is coming back soon? I believe He's coming back. How many believe He could come back today? I believe He could come back today. Amen. There's nothing hindering Him. Nothing stopping Him. All prophecy, as far as I know, has been fulfilled for Him to say, it's enough for the Father to tell the Son, go get your bride. Go bring her home. Go get your church. Bring her on. And if we live that way, we live watching. We live expectantly. We don't put our faith and trust in everything that we have here, but we put our faith and trust in Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, don't set your affections on things above, on things below, but on things above. Amen. Get our hearts and minds set on heavenly things. And if we get our heart and mind set on heavenly things, we get our hearts and minds set on watching and waiting. When I was in the Navy, and I would be off to sea, and I was on a ship that went to sea quite often. We'd go out for 6 to 8 weeks, come back for 2 or 3, maybe a month. We'd go back out for 6 to 8 weeks and come back in for 2 or 3, and my wife was always there on the pier. She was always expectantly watching and waiting for that ship to come in, and sometimes she'd get fooled. She'd be waiting on me to come from one place, and I'd wind up having to go someplace. Sometimes I was on an amphibious assault ship, and sometimes we'd have to take our amphibious assault craft into a different place, and they'd offload us as the ship was coming in and let us out, and we would run to Little Creek, and our ship would go on back to Norfolk, the main naval base, and she'd be at the naval base waiting on me because she didn't know I was coming into Little Creek. But praise God, we know one thing for sure, that Jesus is a-coming. Amen. And we know that He's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the sky. We know that we can be watching and waiting. We know all about it. You see, I couldn't communicate. We didn't have cell phones and email and all this stuff everybody has today. Sometimes I'd be back home before letters that she wrote me would even get to me, or letters I wrote her would arrive after we got back in port. And we'd sit and read them sometimes and laugh because we're reading what she was writing when I was gone, and she'd already told me all about it and everything. But that way it was kind of amusing. But I couldn't get the message to her that our plans had changed, and I wasn't coming into the main naval base. Our ships were offloading our small craft, and we were heading into Little Creek, and she'd be waiting there. And you know, back then we only had one vehicle, amen. And I'd be waiting on her and waiting on her. I said, well, sooner or later somebody's going to come off the ship and tell her that I'm at Little Creek. And she would come to Little Creek and pick me up. And praise God, it did. But you know, we don't have that communication problem in God's Word. Jesus said He's coming back in the clouds with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. He's coming to get His church. He's coming to get his bride. He's coming to take us away. And we need to be watching. In Matthew 24, 42 to 44, Jesus is telling his disciples about the time when he's coming back. He's coming back. And that's talking about his second coming. That's not talking about the rapture. The rapture will preclude his second coming. But he tells them to watch, for you know not what hour. Therefore, be ye also ready. Praise God. I don't know when he's coming to take his church, but it behooves me to watch and to be ready. I don't know when he's coming. I do know how he's coming. I know that he is a coming. I just don't know when. It behooves me to be ready. In Matthew, Mark 13, he gives to every man according to his work. And he says, and what I say unto you all, I say unto you all, he said, watch. Amen. Why? Because you don't know when the master's coming back. You don't know when the master's returning. But you need to be ready. You need to be watching. You need to be tarrying in the work. You need to be tarrying in this world, telling people about Jesus. Your life needs to be a light that's set on a hill, a candle that's lit and raised high for a lost and a dying world to see the light of the gospel. And we need to be watching and waiting. We can't let down a minute. We can't let the light go out. We can't let the light flicker. We need to be watchful, waiting for the Lord to come. In Matthew 25, 1 to 13, in the parable of the 10 virgins, he says, watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Praise God. We need to watch. In that scenario, the 10 virgins, five were ready and five weren't. Five had the oil in their lamps and five had nothing. Five came up empty, and when the door was shut and they said, let us in, the master said, I know you not. Amen. We need to watch and we need to be ready. And the question is very simple this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you've never made him your personal Savior. Amen. I'm not talking about you joined a church, you belong to a church, you said a prayer. I'm talking about you believe with all your heart that if you died in the state that you was in, you was going to die and split hell wide open. And you asked Jesus to save you because you realize that he loved you enough to die for you. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves you. And he dies for you, and you realize that. And you realize that you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You're not ready to go. You're not prepared. Oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knocks at our heart. He deals with our heart. He speaks to our heart. But he doesn't indwell our heart until we ask Jesus in. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus into your heart. You're not ready. Christian, maybe you're here this morning and there's unconfessed sin in your life. You're saved, but do you want to meet Jesus with that dirt? Man, if you know company's coming, you try to clean up. Amen. You try to make sure the house looks good. If we know somebody's coming, man, my wife is on the, she wants to make sure everything looks good. She don't want anybody to see our dirt. Jesus said, if we confess our faults, confess our sins, confess our problems, confess those things that we're letting keep us from him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he can restore us. He can clean us up where we won't be ashamed to meet him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got unconfessed sin in your life. And you're ashamed of that sin. You'd be ashamed to stand before your Savior without that under the blood. You're not ready, but you can be. Maybe God has called somebody here into work. Maybe he's called you here to work in this church. Maybe he's laid a burden on your heart of something that you can do in this world and you just haven't done it. You need to quit rebelling and surrender. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Surrender your heart to the Lord. Let Him do in you what it is that He wants to do. It says, tarry in this world. But as we tarry, we need to tarry in the work. And as we get ourselves busy in the world and in the work, we need to be careful that we don't lose sight that Jesus is coming soon. And we make sure that we're ready. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitation.